This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen Muhammadu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathira. From Abadu, my brothers and sisters, we are on our Living Islam series looking at marriage. And we were talking about my cardinal principles on these matters, and that was, I said, the first cardinal principle is to make sure that you do some things which make the marriage happy and do not do things which make the marriage unhappy. My second cardinal principle is concern, is what is most important to remember. Concern for each other. Genuine concern, having it and expressing it. Now, remember the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Rasulullah said, your iman is not complete until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. Now, to an even greater extent, this is true for the spouses. So, if you do this, you cannot go wrong. The virus that kills the marriage is a two-letter word, and that is me, M-E. Because the moment you start getting concerned about yourself at the expense of the other, then that is the death knell, the drum roll for your marriage. To get, you have to give. What you have in your hand is your harvest. What you sow is the seed. To get the harvest, you must first sow the seed. So give, and give with grace, and give with love, and give with joy. And you will get much more than you bargained for, believe me. There's no doubt about this. You will get far more than you thought was possible. But that won't just happen. It will come, provided you first give. That's why I say to people, don't worry about your rights, focus on your duties. If you focus on your duties and your spouse focuses on their duties, then both the rights of the spouses will get fulfilled. Instead of that, if you focus on rights, then the chances are that you are going to neglect the duties and you will only be thinking about what you can get out of the marriage, and your spouse is also thinking about what he or she can get out of the marriage, and when enough stuff has been taken out of the marriage is gone because there is nothing in it. Right? There is nothing in it. For something to survive and for something to prosper, you have to put things in, not take things out. If you want your business to survive, if you have a shop, if you keep taking things out of the shop and use them up somewhere else, your shop will have, the shelves will be empty. And even if a customer comes, there is nothing to buy because you have emptied the shop. If you want the shop to do well, you have to stock the shop. Put things into the shop. Right? Removing things doesn't help. Putting things in. And the same thing is true about marriage. Do what I'm telling you and you will get much more than what you bargained for. So show consideration, show, not just feel, show consideration for your spouse. Do things without being asked. Don't play power games, doesn't work. Power games with spouses is really a zero-sum game. Right? It's mutually destructive. The marriage is not a boxing ring, it's not a WWF wrestling match, it's not a competition to see who is smarter, who is more powerful and so on and so forth. It is not a contest to get the better of the other. Your spouse is not your prey, you are not a predator. You understand this? Your spouse is not even your customer, your spouse is not even your client, your spouse is your spouse. That is a special relationship that is not shared with anybody other than your spouse. And this is something that you should believe in and really work on, and then inshallah your marriage will be absolutely fantastic. Now remember, in this whole problem of this playing power games and winning, remember that every time you win, the other person loses. And losing is something that nobody enjoys. So at some point, they will get tired of losing. And then you have no marriage. And then you have lost big time. And that's the biggest loss that you brought on yourself. A marriage is like a relay race, long term, passing the baton to each other at each stage. And the team, in this case, the two of you, wins. If you don't pass on the baton, if you hang on to it, then you lose. Right? So please understand this. Now, my next question they asked me, which I am answering for you, is question number 12. In today's times of prenups, fast-track divorces, and even websites as matchmakers, what kind of mindset should people have when getting into a marriage? Now, I said that today we live in a world where selfishness is not a sin anymore. And that is a tragedy, because selfishness is a sin, except that we don't accept it as a sin. Like many things in this world, in this life today, we have got used to and we have normalized behavior which is really negative. Right? Really negative. I was having a conversation with this friend of mine, and he's a Hindu friend. He's actually atheist more than Hindu, but he has a Hindu name. So he was telling me, he said, you know, the difference between Hindus and Muslims is so big, because he says Hindus worship idols and Muslims worshipping idols is anathema. So really, there cannot be any understanding between the two, and therefore violence and conflict is inevitable. So I told him I completely disagree, because in my view, there is a third possibility. One is we agree. Second one is we disagree and we fight. The third possibility is that we agree to disagree. That we disagree with dignity. We disagree with respecting each other. And say that I will not worship idols. This is not my faith. But if you are worshipping idols, I will not go and kill you either. Right? So this is the problem today, that we have accepted all kinds of negative behavior as normal. But remember, it's not normal. It is negative, and that's what the reality is. Now, that's why I said that just changing your mind or giving it a different word, and a non-evil sounding word, does not change an evil into good. Right? You will get sick even if you fall in love with the virus, because that is the nature of the virus. People wanting to get married have to learn to think about the other and to consciously give him or her precedence and preference. If you can't do that, your marriage will break down sooner or later. Our lifestyles, the internet, social media, talking to people across the world from other cultures, the TV, with its unreal fantasy world of soap operas, are all designed to destroy marriages. They promote ideas that are either directly destructive or they lead to the killing fields of marriages. These serials glorify disrespect for elders, extramarital affairs, destructive competition, ostentatious consumption, and generally behavior that is destructive and negative for all concerned, except for those who make the series, who make the serials. A good marriage is about living in the real world, not in the fantasy world, which is neither bold nor beautiful. So very important to understand this. The next question was, is the 7-year itch based on statistics or research? And in your mind, does it exist? Now, this is what people say, well, you know, after 7 years, people start looking around and that's when marriages break up and people start having affairs. I don't think there's any such thing. Looking outside your marriage for companionship, which can then lead to a breakup, is a sign of intrinsic unhappiness. If you feel it, the thing to do is to deal with it, not look outside. The problem with 7-year itches is that every 7 years you are older and less desirable. Then where will you go? So it is very important, if there is a problem, to face the problem and to talk about it and to resolve it between the spouses. And by all means, do take help. Sometimes it is very useful to take the help either of a professional counselor or of a family friend or of an elder who both parties respect and who can be objective. The important thing is that whoever tries to help you must not side with one or the other. They must be objective, and both parties must be willing to listen to some home truths. And the person helping you should have the courage and should have the moral capital to be able to tell you what you need to hear, not only what you want to hear. So this is very important. If somebody who's just, you know, playing along is not a good counselor for you. So do take help if you need help. Then they asked me this question, how important are children to have a happy marriage? Some couples cannot have children, others choose not to. Now, in my opinion, I don't think children either make a marriage happy or unhappy. It is more their upbringing that makes the home happy or not. One of the things which children do is their very presence is a huge distraction, is a huge sink for your time and attention and, of course, obviously finances and so on. So in some cases we find spouses drifting apart because of children, because both the mother and the father are so interested in the children, or, you know, either genuinely interested or they are just forced into it because now the children are there, so they have to be fed and watered and they have to be taken to school and back and this class and that class and this game and that game, with the result that the spouses tend to drift apart. On the other hand, children also give the parents a common interest. But for the marriage, if the only thing in common is children, then something is wrong. Something is very seriously wrong. On the converse side, as I said, children can take a lot of time and attention and energy, and that can be difficult to handle for many people. But if the spouses share in the work of raising children and take the trouble to raise them well, with good manners, values, attitudes, then they can be a huge asset for the marriage. And it's very important in this case to make the children a part of your family in all that you say and all that you do, in all your activities. If you just farm out your children to nannies and daycare centers and then when they come home to iPads and smartphones, then neither are the children being raised properly, nor is this going to help you in the marriage. Involve the children in the house, in your work. Take them out, go with them, joint family outings and sharing. Take them. I seem to think only in terms of outdoor things, but that's my nature. So take them fishing, take them camping, take them stargazing, and so on and so forth. Show them the world and help them to understand that. If you build these kind of common sharing, then you find the children become a very huge and big and beautiful asset in the marriage. Now, next question was, what can couples do to keep the spark alive in a marriage? And that is very important, the appreciation. Appreciate each other and express this appreciation on a daily basis. I even tell people to keep a register, to keep a book in a common place, you know, on a private, so not that other people should see it, just the two of you, but keep it where it's accessible to both people. And as you pass the day, write something in it. Write something nice for your spouse. In that, right? And then when their spouse comes, and there's this anticipation, oh, let me see what has my husband written, what has my wife written, and you look at it. My wife and I had this in our house for some time soon after we got married, and we found it very, very beneficial. Somebody suggested it, I can't recall now who did it, but may Allah bless them. It was very beneficial, right? Just keeping something where you write something good to each other. It may seem artificial to you, but please, something should be done. Don't worry about whether it feels artificial or not. The reason I'm saying that is because for many people, we, for some funny reason, we are very embarrassed about saying something good. We criticize very easily. But to appreciate, to say, you know, something is a very beautiful thing we did, and I've seen so nice to come to the house, because this house, you maintain it so well, and I'm so grateful to you. You go out every day and you work and so on, and you come back, and you know, I know you're doing it for me. I mean, these are things which should be said, right? Now people think, oh, but you know, she knows or he knows. He may know, but still it is important to say it. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows everything, what did Allah say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La in shakartum la azidannakum. Allah said, if you are thankful to me, I will increase. If you express your thanks, if you show your thanks, if you express your gratitude, I will increase my blessing on you. And if you are ungrateful, then beware, my punishment is severe. Now, when you say it about somebody, doesn't he know, doesn't she know? My question is, doesn't Allah know? Then why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us to do this? It's not a matter of whether somebody knows or not. It's a matter of you. Do you express your happiness, your appreciation to somebody for what they have been doing for you day and night? So keep this, keep a register and write. Another very important thing is to have your own language, right? Your own pet names, the way you call each other, some key phrases which are shared, and this has to be completely confidential. They're just confidential between the two of you. That's why I'm not telling you, for example, what my wife and I, what kind of our own language which we speak. And by language, I don't mean, you know, Dakni or Telugu or Urdu or something. No, I mean the marriage and the language in the marriage, the words we speak, what we say to each other. Obviously, I will not share it with you, because that's supposed to be confidential between the two spouses. But make it for yourself. Right, what you call each other, how do you speak to each other, what do you say to each other. These are all very beautiful ways of, this is the glue, this is the adhesive that keeps the marriage together. Catch each other doing something right instead of catching them doing something wrong. Sometimes I see people waiting for somebody to make a mistake, then you pick, see what you did. Instead of that, warn them in advance, tell them, look, you know, do this like this. Second thing is, when they do something good, say it. Open your mouth and talk. Open your mouth and talk. It's about you. So say, appreciate something good. Do things for one another just to see a smile on the face. Right? Bring a flower, bring a whatever. Give something just to show that, oh, I was thinking of you. Right? It's not a mechanical thing. Every time you go out somewhere, you're shopping for saris. No, it's a question of what you like to do. And what he or she likes, and you have taken the trouble to do that for them. As I said, you know, invent your own language to, you know, talk to each other. Give flowers and give chocolates. I mean, all of this. Once again, it's not a matter of a particular thing. You know, give only flowers, only chocolate. Whatever is good for you, but give something which the other person likes. So, then another very important thing is keep your mouth shut. I'll teach you a trick, right? Don't react to everything which the other person says. So what must you do? First of all, take 10 deep breaths. That's two. Take 10 and then forget it. Forget whatever they said. Do not react. Because reactions produce reactions, and that is a never-ending thing, and it takes the thing out of your hands. Finally, never ever go to bed mad with each other. Whatever happened in the day, always make up before you go to bed. And then cuddle up and sleep. Right? Never quarrel in the bedroom. Never in the bed. Make this a rule. If you have a problem, deal with it in the morning. Right? Usually by the morning it would have sorted itself out. But if it didn't, then deal with it in the morning. But no, don't go to bed with a problem. Don't fight in bed. Don't fight in the bedroom. If you had a fight, finish it. End it. Make up before you go into the bedroom. And then hug each other and cuddle up and sleep. Don't do this cold treatment of you are in pointing in one direction and he or she is pointing the other direction and all that, right? Don't do this thing. That's a very, very destructive thing. The bedroom must be a completely safe harbor where there's no storms in there. The whole house should be, but at least in the house, the bedroom, right? Sanctum sanctorum. Now, then the question they asked me was, is fighting healthy? Well, depends on what is meant by fighting. If by fighting you mean trying to get the better of each other in an argument, then it's not healthy. And also especially using all kinds of means amounting to emotional blackmail and stuff, definitely it is not healthy, it is sick. If it means arguing in a friendly, like a fencing match between equals, equal intellects, which leads to a good feeling, then of course it is nice. Right? Now again, avoid power games. The worst thing that happens in marriages is power games, trying to get the better of each other. Avoid these like the plague. Many marriages, they turn into daily competitions between the spouses to see who can control the other. Now this takes many apparently benign and legitimate forms, but all of them are illegitimate, they are subversive, and they are destructive to the marriage. Another one is, some people use religion as a means of control, and they invoke religious rulings and they quote this sheikh and that sheikh, right? And all sorts of religious rulings when it comes to trying to impose something on the spouse. Please understand, by that you are not only destroying credibility in yourself, but you also put the religion at stake. And unless the spouse is well grounded in the religion, he or she will start disliking the religion itself. So you are doing a disservice to yourself, and you are doing a disservice to Islam or to your religion. So please don't do that, right? In many cases I've seen, it is usually the men who are suffering from an inferiority complex, who have not done anything significant in their lives, who suddenly they can sense that they don't really command any respect on their own, and they use religion and religious rulings to enforce their will on women. And so you have to obey me and blah blah blah. Please. Now, women, on the other hand, they use religion to compensate for their own feelings of inadequacy, where they feel that they are not loved or desired as much as they would like to be. Now, should is the most useless word in the language. If people did what they should, then the world would be a very different place. Both spouses need to look at the real drivers behind their apparent religious orientation, because it has nothing to do with the Almighty, with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Power games come in many packages. Spouses use children as their pawns in power games at getting the better of each other. Others use health concerns, they eat more, eat less, joint family rules, cultural taboos, and many other. All are power games and all are destructive. Please stop playing power games in a marriage. They are like setting fire to a wooden house. Then 17, how important is money to keep a marriage happy? Not important at all. Not important. Both financial hardship and plenty can be a source of bonding or a source of drifting apart. It is mutual respect and concern for each other that counts. And that is a result of character, of piety, of learning, of nobility of conduct and deportment, of confidence, of trustworthiness, of dignity, of grace, genuine desire to please one another, and to place the need of the other before and above one's own. Each of these words, think about them, reflect on them. None of these are things that money can buy or that we need money for. If you want to see how money is important for a happy marriage, just look at the lives of the great billionaires that we like to quote all the time. Right? Practically every single one of them, except Warren Buffett, is either divorced or getting a divorce or whatnot. And they're billionaires, not even millionaires. So money doesn't buy them happiness, right? It's the character of a person, the respectability of a person. If you can't be faithful to your spouse, you have no character. You're not a respectable person. So be very clear in your mind. And that's why I say that money problems are not money problems, even when they are money problems. If you see what I mean, right? Now, 18, question, what are the worst things that couples can do to a marriage? Lying, betraying trust, cheating, and playing power games. These are absolutely destructive. Another very destructive thing which many people do almost routinely, which is making fun of each other. Fun of, not having fun with each other. Making fun of each other or mocking each other in front of other people. And showing disrespect in the name of humor. Humor is to laugh with someone, not at someone. Lastly, but by no means the least, by being overly self-focused and showing disregard and no concern for the other. Honesty is still the best policy. And it will be the best policy always. So be honest. Do not be dishonest in your marriage. Don't cheat. Don't carry on an affair behind, you know, your spouse's back. Apart from being haram, and the ultimate haram, it's something which is really a reflection of the kind of person you are. And I hope you're not that kind of person. Then number 19, should people resort to white lies or tiny lies to keep the peace? Now there's a difference between telling lies and not divulging all details. Rasulullah said, don't even lie as a jest, as a joke. But not divulging all details is sometimes wise. There is no need to say everything to everyone. So for example, in a marriage, when you're getting married, not talking about whatever friendships and so on you may have had before the marriage. It is not wrong, it is actually a very wise thing to do. Because many people cannot handle that kind of information. And if you talk about all your great conquests or your losses and all the old flames that you have left all around the marketplace, this is going to sow the seeds of future problems in your marriage. So live a clean life, and whatever happened, make istighfar tawbah. And even if it was nothing wrong, even if it was just a friendship and so on and so forth, keep it out. There's no need to divulge and, you know, vomit everything which is inside you. There is, it's something that does no good. And no matter how, broad-minded the spouse is, sometimes it can cause problems. But telling a lie is not acceptable in any situation. Because it is against the grain of everything which I have said to you. I mean, you can't be telling lies and be honest at the same time. And of course, in our religion, it is prohibited straight away. I mean, there's no telling lies. Now, things like, don't use terms like white lies, because that's a racially colored biased term, like black sheep, nightmare, black heart, and so on. It's a legacy of English, which is originally the white man's language, and a knight in shining armor. Can be all black too. Black shines more than white, if you notice. Be very careful with the kind of language you use. Now, having said that, telling the truth inappropriately or in a harsh manner also does not do any good. Being silent is an option. That's worth exploring really seriously. Being silent. For example, if the toast is burnt or the food has no salt or something not to your liking, there are many ways of saying it, but you also have the option of remaining silent in honor of all the times that it was delicious. If the husband comes home cranky, it's irritating, but you have the option to remind yourself that a nice cup of tea and talking about something else is probably more productive than saying, don't bring your office home. I've been all here, I'm not interested in listening to your problems. That doesn't work, right? How does it help? You may be justified to say that, but sometimes it's better to be kind than to be justified. Diplomacy and wisdom are great virtues and most useful in a marriage. not rubbing their nose in it is also very wise. Turn away gracefully. Don't watch their discomfiture. Spouses realize that they are wrong, but may not necessarily grovel at your feet and beg forgiveness. It's wise to leave them alone and not demand groveling. People's dignity is more important to maintain. So be it in a management or union negotiation or a domestic disagreement or in a marriage, it's important to allow the one who is wrong to save face. To insist on humiliating them is to burn bridges to future relationships. Remember that you are also human and surely will be wrong one day. Don't create a situation where the other is waiting for that day to return your favor. Right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to do what is pleasing to Him and help us to have marriages which are a means of great joy and delight. And inshallah, we will talk more about this later in the next session, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.